Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan. It's time for Golden Locks with Alex Gold.
Gotta figure out how to make money on this thing. It's simply too good.
All right, here we go. Alex Gold joins us now with Fesco, myself on Fesco and Dusty with Mac Morey, rocking the Rock Chalk Victory crew neck.
Yeah, man, why not? You know, I had
Are
worn
you gonna
it a
hold
lot.
On to the basketball as long as Hunter Dickinson did last night? What's that about, man?
I'm kind of done with the whole Hunter Dickinson thing.
I've been done with college basketball.
Did you see
for
this
years.
Play last night, Bob? By the way,
no, I did not.
Oh my god,
no.
I have to send you on Twitter that the two guys, TCU and Hunter Dickinson, they get a free rebound and neither one wants to give the ball. Like 3.5 minutes of neither one giving up the ball grip on that ball.
So I was watching yesterday the documentary in 30 for 30 on the old Big East from back in the 80s. And I'm watching it, and I got hooked yesterday about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm like, all right. And it's marvelous. If you haven't watched that, you don't know what college basketball is or was or could have been. Watching that makes you realize how awful the product is today. College basketball is a terrible, terrible product.
I mean,
the Big
I definitely
back
don't
in
enjoy
the 80s
it as much as I
was
used to.
Unbelievable. You had the coaches that were characters, the players that were characters. They were all friends. They all hated each other. They all wanted to beat each other. They all loved each other. It was the best thing I've ever seen. And I went, what happened to college basketball? And you know what it ended up being? They talked about at the end with the Big East, the conference realignments.
Sure.
And money got in the way, and football became so big that you depleted what was college basketball, the Big East in the 80s. And college basketball today is a waste of my time. It really is. I'll watch in March when the tournament comes around.
Get off my lawn.
But the play.
a little bit.
No,
yeah.
It's not a good product. It's not a good product. Nobody can shoot. All they do is put up 3-point shots and miss, and the final 2 minutes of these games, they're brutal. It's a brutal sport.
Talk to me in March.
I agree partially with what he's saying.
It's not going to take away the plays, but the tournament's fun because it's live or die, but this crap now.
I definitely watch less college basketball now than I have at any point in my life.
Yeah,
like that's true.
That's a big part of it here
in Kansas City because of that. Right. A lot of it does go back to conference realignment, and then, of course, the replay review stuff, the final 2 minutes takes a half hour, all of that. But that first weekend of March, I think for a lot of people, makes up for all of it. They enjoy the Thursday, Friday enough where they're like, okay.
And you're not coming back for the second weekend, though, unless your team's still around.
Correct.
Saturday's slate of college basketball is pretty good this Saturday.
It's just hard for me to, like, the stakes aren't high yet. It's January in college basketball.
I know, like, when you that's get to, why like, conference you, tournament. Yeah. Once conference tournament starts, I'll really dive in.
You lose a conference game on January 10th, like, who cares?
Right. Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. Who cares? It doesn't matter.
There was a point in time, don't get me wrong, like 8 to 10 years ago, I would have truly have like been upset that Kansas lost to West Virginia. Yeah. Okay, at Allen Fieldhouse. Right. I'm like, okay, well, yeah,
it's changed. See, I'm not the only one, Spectre, who was a diehard basketball fan when he got here. Can't stand it. You know, I mean, like, it's progressively getting worse as a sport. And then you watch the Big East thing and you watch the coaches, just the characters. Like, Norm Stewart celebrated his 90th birthday yesterday.
Wow.
Or last week, I guess it was. And I'm thinking back to the days when I was in school and he would come in and we would chant "Sit down, Norm," and the rivalry was there and the fun was there.
Don't you think but don't you think some of this is just like, we all like nostalgia? And that's what it seems like. You're like, you're a big nostalgia guy.
I think the NFL is better now today than it's ever been. I think baseball's better today than it's ever been. With the pitch clock and all that kind of stuff and speeding up the games and the pace of play. And there's more superstars now in baseball than we've seen in quite some time. Like, I like the game, like the Dodger thing itself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I like where the actual on-field game is right now. Mm-hmm. I do. I love where the game is right now. I'm binging baseball. Football's great. College football is really good right now. College basketball just gets worse. It just continues to get worse and devolve and become a product that is not interesting whatsoever.
Well, let's get into something that is actually interesting for all of us. You had your betting show last night.
That one, yeah.
Which one?
That one.
Mm-hmm. So any Chiefs talk yet? I know it's early. I know that the Chiefs and the what's going on? I'm seeing side eyes.
What? Okay. What did I do now?
No, you didn't. I jumped the gun. I jumped the gun on that. Anyway.
Yeah, you did. You screwed up the bit.
That's what I was looking at. Bob. I was like, "What? My bad.
Yeah,
my bad." Dusty threw me off by him saying it. Normally, we went in reverse order there.
Yeah. You're becoming college basketball right before my eyes. You're getting worse with age.
Right. But no, like, what's 1.5, 2 is what this game is starting out of.
Hey, every half point and number matters. I think last week, we can go back to that for a second, is why when we discuss where's the line moving and how early you should bet it or not bet, it matters. Look at last week's Texans game. If you lost money on that game, I'll be honest, like, you weren't very smart with how you handled it. What I mean by that is the Chiefs were 8 or 8.5 point favorites the entire week. Mm-hmm. It closed as Chiefs 9.5 point favorites. We all know the sequence. The block kick got you your cover, and then ultimately the safety. If you had 9.5, you would have lost. If you were a Texans backer, you should have waited till closer to kickoff because the number wasn't going to go down. So mm-hmm. You made your money. And then if you were looking to back the Chiefs, you had all week to back them at 8 or 8.5. So if you lost money because of the safety or whatever, you're frankly, like, you're an idiot. Like, there was no reason you should have lost money. I had Mike Palm on my betting show last night.
Who?
And Mike Palm from Circa.
Okay.
On that betting show.
Okay.
Bob.
I was more concerned with who the guy was.
He's Ken's brother.
And, I mean, you said it like he's like, I had Andy Reid on yesterday, and he said.
In the gambling world, he's known. Anyway, so.
So Bob listened.
The books lost money on that game. It's one of the rare times where the books got middled, where if you were a Texans backer, you won, and if you were a Chiefs backer, you should have won. Mm-hmm. Like, it was one of those games. So it does matter with where you get the number at. And a lot of books already have this game up to 2. So FanDuel is still -1.5 for Sunday night. But a few books have already put it out to 2. And I don't think we'll see it get to 3 because that's a key number. I'd be shocked if it gets all up to 3. But if you're looking to back the Chiefs, I wouldn't be waiting too much longer. Unless the injury news in Buffalo today is bad and all of a sudden we find out the 3 guys that didn't practice aren't practicing again, then maybe we see the line move some more.
Mm-hmm. So jump on it now is what you're saying.
If you're back in the Chiefs. Now, on the flip side, if you think that the Bills are winning outright or covering, you can wait because the number might get an extra half point. Maybe it gets to 2.5 by the time we get to
the other thing. I would say you have to act quickly now is that the Chiefs' best odds for you to make a ton of money off of them to win the Super Bowl is right now because they are +220. And now I know that Philadelphia is a favorite. Mm-hmm. I think you understand why as well as I do because they had the easier route, whereas Buffalo still has to play Kansas City. Kansas City still has to play Buffalo. What I said to Bob earlier is like they're +220 right now. Buffalo's +260. I believe Philadelphia is like +175. Whoever wins this game, Buffalo or Kansas City, will then jump to the odds on favorite to be the favorite to win the Super Bowl. So if you're going to get the Chiefs at the best odds, it would be right now. Now, the parlay that I really enjoy that I'm thinking about doing that on Friday is you can pick your matchup, obviously, for the Super Bowl.
That's
down to
fun.
4 teams. So right now on DraftKings, at least this morning, Washington versus Kansas City was +950. So if you think that's going to be the Super Bowl matchup and you think the Chiefs are going to win, that's where I think you could really get value. I don't know what you think about where you get into the futures of like 2 weeks left in the season. But I think that's a good point to make, is if you're going to take teams that you believe, pick your matchup now.
If you believe the Commanders are winning and the Chiefs are winning, then for sure. Yeah, I mean, that's one way to do it. I mean, I think the same thing could be said with the MVP market. If you believe the Chiefs are winning on Sunday night, Patrick Mahomes is plus 250 right now to win the MVP. We all know for the Super Bowl. Yeah. So if the Chiefs get to the Super Bowl, we know you're not getting plus 250 on Mahomes.
No.
He'll be minus 115, minus 120 to be Super Bowl MVP.
Not to cut you up, but what will the favorite be of the AFC, the winner of this game? What will their number be to win the Super Bowl? Will it still be plus like 100, or will there be a minus?
The odds have just come out, actually.
Yeah. The look ahead lines, like Bob was about to say, the look ahead lines are already out there. I mean, you can bet these. And remember, if you bet them now, and the Chiefs, you know, the matchup doesn't exist, it voids out. Now, the one thing it doesn't void out is the MVP. If you put an MVP bet right now on Mahomes, depending on the book, that's action no matter what. So you would lose. That's the risk on the MVP market, at least at FanDuel. But the Chiefs would be 1.5-point favorites against the Eagles, according to FanDuel look-ahead line. Mm-hmm. And the Chiefs would be 4.5-point favorites over the Commanders in the look-ahead market.
Yeah, I'm looking at Chiefs to beat Eagles to predict the exact outcome. Chiefs beating Eagles is plus 350. Chiefs to beat Washington is 7-1.
Yeah. So, and you said you had 9-1.
For the matchup.
Yeah. No, those are fun markets to delve into. You just got to be, you want to look, it'll tell you when you make your bet. Like for the look ahead lines, it specifically says void if not scheduled. But on the MVP market right now, it is all bets have action regardless if the player's team takes part. So you just want to be a little cautious. But if you're confident that the Chiefs are winning and you like Mahomes to win MVP, then yeah, plus 250 right now is as good of a number as you're going to find.
What else are you looking at in the AFC championship game on Sunday that you like?
So I love the total over. I think this is going to be a different game. I know the week 11 was still 51 points, but I mean a different game in terms of, I believe the Chiefs are going to march down the field throughout. I don't think this Bills defense is shutting down Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs offense. And I understand we're in Kansas City and you're like, okay.
Predict a blowout real fast?
Not a blowout. No, but I think the Chiefs are going to move the ball. The secondary is weak in Buffalo. They also have some injuries, and the Chiefs already faced the best defensive front that they're going to face in the postseason. Mm-hmm. And so Joe Tooney and Caliendo in the passing game, I think will hold up better than they did against the Texans, which should give some opportunities for them to finally, you know, get the wide receivers involved. We all know Worthy was the only receiver to have a catch, wide receiver that is to have a catch. And so I don't think Buffalo can keep up with the speed from Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy. I really don't. And they're going to play a lot of zone. They don't play much man. And so I think there's opportunities in space for those guys. And so it would not surprise me if we're watching and the Chiefs are moving the ball on this team. The question will be more, what's the Chiefs' defensive answer to Josh Allen and Buffalo this go around? Is Jalen Watson going to be the difference maker? I think we all believe he can be in this matchup, because Nazi Johnson was not a good matchup for the Chiefs case on the week 11 matchup.
Yeah, you know, you're very convincing right now for me. I'm listening to all that. I'm like, boy, this sounds like it should be a blowout, but we all know they have Josh Allen on the opposite side. And, you know, we said it yesterday, anything you could do, I can do better, or at least try to do it better. I think it comes down to the first quarterback to make a major mistake ends up losing this game. I don't know if it's that simple or not.
Well, we all know neither quarterback's turning the ball over. Mahomes hasn't turned it over since the Bills game. So sure, I mean, it sounds so, you know, cliche and everything, but that's exactly how the playoffs have played out. I mean, not just in the Bills, the Ravens Bills game last week, where I actually thought the Ravens played better than the Bills for the most part, but we all know you can't turn the ball over multiple times. And I think it's the teams that won the turnover margin the postseason so far, 7-0.
Well, like, I mean, that's common sense. That's what happens.
Right, yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, I know it's like, oh yeah, my take is, guys, they got to win the turnover battle, but like, In the playoffs, yes. I mean, that's what I agree with you. When you have teams that are pretty evenly matched, although I still think, as I was saying, there's some areas the Chiefs can exploit this go around that they didn't have, whether it's the wide receivers or Charles Omenihu, we all know, didn't play. I don't think if you're a Bills fan, despite winning the regular season matchup, like, I don't think that means anything at all. Not just because they've always lost in the playoffs, but truly the personnel is way different a couple months later now than it was then.
Yeah, so looking at this game, I know there's some people that'll bet a straight ticket. Like, they'll just take Mahomes passing yards, Kelsey receiving yards, Hopkins receptions, and Pacheco rushing attempts. That's just a one-sided ticket. Some people do that.
Yeah.
Some people like to mix it up. What's Buffalo? Like, Joe Mixon kind of cooked last week. Cook's obviously been better. They have their right tackle back that Capaccio mentioned on our show yesterday. Are there Buffalo props that you like in this game as well?
Definitely. Yeah, so we've talked about the tight ends a lot on the opposing side throughout the season.
That's where Cody's new song came from.
That's right. Dalton Kincaid wasn't in the Week 11 matchup either. I don't have to tell you guys, the Chiefs are worst yardage given up in football to tight ends. Mm-hmm. They give up the 15th most touchdowns to tight ends this season as well. Mm-hmm. So I take a look, and Kincaid's 35 and a half. That's up a point from last night, actually. Up a yard, a full yard from last night. So
from that over, betting show?
From that one, yeah.
Which one?
That one.
Mm-hmm.
35 and a half.
There we go. What's the rushing line on Cook?
Right now, you can get...
Because what, Mixon have last week, 87?
Yeah,
something
Cook,
like that?
55 and a half.
Mm.
55 and a half for Cook.
Kind of like that. What's Allen's? I know I'm just giving you like...
No, you're good. 47 and a half for Josh
47
Allen.
47 and a half for
That's
Josh Allen.
That's a big number, I think.
Wow. And Mahomes, what, 23 and a half, 24?
24 and a half. And we all know last week, we didn't get it. I'm going back
and
to the well.
That popped up, Daddy, so you know he's running.
I'm going back to the well, though, on the rushing back. Last week, we talked about taking the over on rushing.
He 47.
He had the 12 and a half, whatever it was, the 12-plus yard run Mahomes did to got over the 11 and a half longest rush attempt for the game. I still think there'll be opportunities now that you don't have Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson,
yeah,
where
sure.
I think Mahomes will take off more. But 47 and a half is a lot of yards. And the
That's
question will be, what's the answer for Spags? We all know the 4th-and-2 run that Josh Allen had. Is that Leo Chanel? Is that who's going to spy? And we all know the athleticism that dude has. He's a freak. So
we've got 14 straight games now with Travis Kelce over 70 yards receiving in the playoffs, which is an NFL record. An underdog they have is over at 68 and a half. I'm hammering the over
on
that
one. You just have to out of principle.
Out of principle at this point, right? But with Matt Milano, I mean, like, how does that change? We talked about Matt Milano for years, and he's never done anything.
And he's
never
hurt
played.
Again.
He's
and
hurt
now
again.
He's got a leg bicep.
And now he's got a leg bicep, which I don't know what that means.
It's bicep hamstring with a slash, so it's two different.
Like his arm and leg are hurt.
Like hamstring soreness.
Yeah. So, I mean, how does that factor? Because I think Kelce, again, could be his last game at Arrowhead ever, so
definitely.
I think he's going to have himself a party.
Now, I don't think he'll be as open in space as the I don't know what the hell the Texans were doing in that particular game.
The refs were allowing him to get a 5-yard lead.
That's true. That was right. They were told to make that happen. No, I think you have to bet Kelce for sure. The defensive plan for Buffalo, I mean, given the history, you know, Travis Kelce in week 11 didn't have a huge game, but in the past, in the playoffs, and specifically the AFC title game, I believe the 70 plus yard number that you just mentioned, Bob, I believe it's for the AFC title game, it's even higher than that. I believe he's got a stretch where it's over 85 or 90 in these AFC title games receiving.
Jeez.
So he's even better in an AFC title game.
Because big players show up big in big moments. It's what it is.
I think it'll be a tougher task for Kelce this go around against Buffalo than last week, just because the Bills are not going to just leave him open in the middle of the field.
Right.
But with that said, because the Chiefs, I think, will create some problems with Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy, that eventually in the game, I think, will all of a sudden open some things up for Kelce. But just out of principle, how can you not take, like, if you may just say you don't want to bet Kelce, but I don't know how you could take an under or, you know, on a Travis Kelce bet.
Well, he's
this
washed.
Week.
Just listen to what people have said for
he's
the last
old.
2 years.
He's so old.
So Travis Kelce has played in 6 AFC championship games. He's
right, what's
had,
some of those numbers?
So we'll go from most recent to the...
about what you just said right there.
That's right. 6 AFC championship games. That's right. Last year, he had the 11-11 for 116.
There you go.
The year before that, he had 7 for 8 for 78. Cincinnati the year before that, 10 of 11 for 95. Before that, against Buffalo, 13 receptions, 15 targets. That's where those numbers come from, 118. And then the other 2 years, 3 for 4, 30 yards against Tennessee, 3 for 6 targets for 23 against New England. So,
yeah, so what is it? The last 3 or 4 AFC title games, he's averaging like 85 to 90 yards 116, receiving.
116, 78, 95,
and
118.
In fairness
and
for
a
that,
touchdown in every single
in
game.
In fairness, in that New England game, that was always the guy that Bill Belichick schemed to take out. Like,
yeah.
Travis Kelce did not do great things against the New England Patriots. That was the guy that they always took away. And then who was the next AFC championship game that you mentioned there? The Buffalo? The second
there
Buffalo
was Tennessee.
Game?
Well, there was Tennessee at 3 catches.
Oh,
for
Tennessee,
he had 3
game,
catches for 30 yards, but that was like the run and the Sammy Watkins play.
Yeah, true.
And then after that, it was like, okay, like here it is: 13 catches, 118, 2 touchdowns against Buffalo; 10 catches, 95 yards, 1 touchdown against Cincinnati in the loss; then 7 catches, 78 yards, a touchdown against the Cincinnati Bengals; and then 11 last year on 11 targets for 116 and a touchdown.
Yeah. So he shows up big because he's not washed and he knows what matters, and that's January.
So, yeah.
Travis Kelce will have himself a monster game.
So if you
on
want
Sunday.
The total, he's had 47 receptions for 55 targets, 460 yards, averaging 9.8 a game and 6 touchdowns over AFC championships.
Yeah.
Nuts.
Yeah, that's just absurd. That's why he's the best tight end in NFL history. Someone on the text line was asking about defensive props because Carl Loftus is...
Those are weird.
You know, he's got 7 sacks and what is he, 2 away from all of a sudden being just like that
he's
top 10?
He's 4 away from tying Frank Clark for the most all-time in Chiefs playoff history.
Oh, Chiefs history. I'm talking entire NFL. I think he's 2 away from being top 12 or something like that
oh,
in the
really?
Playoff. It's something ridiculous like that. It doesn't take much with all these games.
No, it doesn't. awesome.
Carl Loftus is plus 162. Anytime you can get a sack number at plus money, it's kind of attractive. Chris Jones plus 144 to get a sack. Carl Loftus plus 162. And you know, between the two, in a weird way, I think I'd rather bet the Carl Loftus number with Omenihu and Chris Jones getting a lot of the attention.
Oh, yeah. God, yes. You know? I think Carl Loftus is absolutely getting a sack.
And it's always
game.
0.25, right? Because you can get half.
On some sides, yeah, this one is a flat-out full
never
sack.
Parlay them.
Yeah, this one's a full sack at plus 162. I think you can get 0.25 sack, so a half sack basically is what they're saying. Plus 105, it's not as good of odds.
What do we like in the NFC matchup? I know that's Philadelphia. Yeah. There's a lot of props there. Probably a lot of Saquon, a lot of Daniels, a lot of McLaurin. You hammer the hammers, right?
You do. I don't think Jalen Hurts been playing well though. That's my only concern with him.
On
passing numbers, I'd be interested. I know the Commanders' defense struggles, even though they won last week, and I did not think they were going to win. We talked about could they cover and everything. And Jane Daniels looks like he's just one of those dudes that's going to have his team in every single game.
Right.
But that defense, they have to force the turnovers, because I understand that it looks like they shut down the Lions. They forced four turnovers to their credit, but Jared Goff was awful.
It was terrible.
So they're not stopping. Like if Jalen Hurts is not turning the ball over though, you know, are they capable defensively of stopping them on the ground? And that's the thing. If I'm the Eagles, I'm not throwing the ball that much. I don't think Jalen Hurts is right still in terms of the passing numbers. So I look at the passing props for Jalen Hurts, and right now his yards is sitting at 179.5, which seems like a really low number.
But they're undefeated when he goes under like 115 yards.
Ballard was telling us that.
It's crazy. And so I don't like a lot of the Jalen Hurts props this week. The number is so large now though for Barkley. 125.5, but
take the under. Yeah, I mean, that's what you'd have to do.
He falls in the Kelce category for me now, where it's like, if you don't like the over on Barkley, then don't bet. I mean, because he is in the fourth quarter a 60-yard run away from just screwing your bet up.
Like he did last week.
He did last week. So if you're not betting the over on Barkley, I don't know how you can really bet the under.
What's the number for him?
125.
Yeah, you got to go the over. I think if Philly wins, he has to be the focal point of the offense. Yeah.
That's exactly
what's
right.
What's Daniels' passing numbers?
Jaden Daniels is sitting at 222.5. I like the over there. I also like his rushing though. He's at 54.5, which is a large number, but he runs. That's a number he's been hitting consistently. We all know the formula. He's like, on a fourth and one, there a lot of times they're doing the bootleg action with Jaden Daniels. Like he of course is everything for them. So I think whether they get blown out, whether it's a close game, he's going to have a massive statistical game.
Do you feel more comfortable in the over in that game or the over in Buffalo, Kansas City?
Probably the over in the Buffalo Kansas City game, actually. And they're both sitting at around the same number, 47.5. I think for me, it's the fact that I believe Kansas City is just, I think they're moving the ball on this Bills defense. I really do. And we're looking at quarterback play. Like, what if the Eagles, Jalen Hurts, it's a slow day. They kind of just drag this thing. I could see them slowing the game down a little bit. Whereas the Commanders have no problem, obviously, marching down the field. I just think that the pace of the Chiefs and Bills game could be actually a lot faster and more frenetic than people have seen in a while from this Chiefs offense.
Can Buffalo, though, put up those kind of numbers against this Chiefs defense? Again, week 11 is about as relevant as week 1, right? So can Buffalo put up numbers against a really good defense?
Yeah, that'll be, if you're a Bills fan, if you think they're winning, the answer I think is obviously yes to that. I was looking at the total points of where things are sitting for the Buffalo Bills, because that's another way to bet this. If you don't think the Bills are holding up their end of the bargain to get the over, the Chiefs total points is sitting at 24.5. The Bills sits at 23.5. I mean, that's why the game's a 1.5 point spread or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's close. I think the Chiefs are going over 24.5 points.
If I'm sitting here today on a Thursday making a bet, I'm absolutely taking the over.
And that's even money right now. Whereas the Bills 23.5, I'm not saying the Bills can't get to 24 and the Chiefs don't win something like 31-24 or something, but I feel more confident the Chiefs offense can get to 24 points. And I know, as you said, like, people will be like, well, they only scored 21 in week 11. I know Hollywood Brown, Wanye Morris was playing left tackle in that game. I mean, we can go on and on and on.
Yeah, week 11, anybody who's, again, I've said this morning a couple of times, anybody who's using week 11 as a reason why this is going to happen or why that's going to happen is dumb.
So three touchdowns, you're thinking, give us two touchdown scores, one for each team.
Yeah, so Kelce got to go back to the well on a touchdown prop
plus
for him.
Plus 125.
Not a ton of great value. Then if we go further down the board, I'm going to go back to
Noah Gray, who had two touchdowns last time they played.
I'm going to go, this one's way off the radar. Mm-hmm. Samaje Perine.
Samaje
Perine's 11-1. Mm-hmm. It's the last 15 games when he has a reception, he goes over 7.5 yards. That's another bet I like, but an anytime touchdown. Perine out of the backfield. Everybody's focusing on Kareem Hunt and Isaiah Pacheco. It's a sprinkle. Like, don't bet any more than you normally would on it or anything. Small little sprinkle. Perine to score a touchdown this game, 11-1.
That's
a playoff
like
game.
Yeah.
Weird things happen. Weird playoff performers step up, and a little something there. I like that better than some of the other value bets. Like, the problem with a bet on DeAndre Hopkins.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hopkins, he's barely getting on the field. I'm only getting at 3-1, you know? Just, I got to get snaps. Like, I thought last week D Hop was going to play a lot, and he didn't. I don't know what the heck's going on. He says he's healthy.
I'm sure he is, but this is the postseason. You go to the guys that have been there with you. Look at the guys who impacted that game on Sunday or on Saturday. Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Kareem Hunt, Chris Jones, and Xavier Worthy. Those are the guys that you've been kind of working with all year long and have been here through this whole run, right? Those are the guys that are going out there and that are going to produce for you. And I think that's when you get into the playoffs, you don't expand your playbook at all. You simplify and say, what works?
Juju Smith-Schuster, 12-1 to score a touchdown anytime. I don't know why.
He's barely get on the field, too.
I know.
It's tough. You know, when you're only getting, let's say, like 12 to 15 snaps, and you better hope that they're throwing the ball to him in that right spot. That's just tough. I mean, that's why the odds, I guess, are what they are.
A very addicting segment. That's why we've gone long. So I want to ask you this. Tomorrow, the text line, there's been one number asking.
Okay.
Overland Park Rally House 10-2. You're giving away two $100 gift cards, right?
That's right. Rally House, time to get geared up for the game on Sunday. Oak Park location, of course, the building. Some people always get confused. The building says Kansas Sampler. It's Rally House. And yes, two $100 gift cards. You're going to have to earn at least one of them. You might want to, you know, do some singing practice.
You got to out-sing Cody Tapp?
No, but you need to start looking up some Taylor Swift lyrics and be ready for that tomorrow.
And then what do you got coming up today?
Yeah, so we'll have Matt Verderam from Sports Illustrated joining us. And we'll talk about, I think, what everybody feels, but I don't know if it's a Kansas City bias thing, which is the winner of this game, right? Feels like everybody agrees is winning the Super Bowl at this point. So we'll dive into that a little bit more. And one of the difference makers that we didn't discuss even here that's going to be in this game on Sunday.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
No problem. Thank you for all the information. Now I'm going to go in to get my own head and try to see what I'm going to bet, including a Juju Smith-Schuster anytime. Bob Fesco, Alex Gold.